Log Talk Radio.
Today is Thursday. On all days.
Everyone, and welcome to our morning words of encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, please know that you are honored guests, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our morning of encouragement is a ministry of the Church of Christ Every Day and Road, located in Lithonia, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. He will also be presenting our words of encouragement for today. So I strongly advise that you stop whatever it is you are doing, you find yourselves a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. And this April showers bring May, something like that. Anyway, good morning, everybody, everywhere. This is April the 13th. This month is moving on down the road. We're so glad that you're with us this morning. And, of course, this is going to be a decent day as far as the clouds are supposed to be rolling in today. We're supposed to have a little thunderstorm on tomorrow. But as I've often said before, we are prepared. Bring it on. The Lord tells us to be prepared not only for death, but he tells us to be prepared for life. Well, I know you've already noticed that this coming Lord's Day will be Easter Sunday. I don't know what you believe about that, but you can't get past it you can't skip over Sunday and then just jump into Monday. So you might as well just gird yourself up and be ready for it. It is Easter Sunday, and it is talking about the resurrection. Of course, you know, we talk about the resurrection year-round. We don't wait till April the 17th to talk about the resurrection. And so we should always be mindful of that. And so don't let Easter throw you off and get you in some kind of a trouble. Now, I'm not understanding how this rabbit got involved in this thing with these eggs, but I tell you what, I don't have no problem with them. I have an attitude. If I don't get my eggs on Sunday morning with that little green grass and some of that candy strolled all around it, somebody's going to have some problems with that. So, but anyway, we just want you to know that it is coming up to be of Easter Sunday, talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And pretty much there'll be a lot of sermons on that. There'll be a lot of sunrise services. When they started at 6, some of them start at 6 in the morning to see the sun come up, depending on wherever you might be, so that they can honor the Lord in some way and somehow. And then, of course, on Easter Sunday, after church, most time you go out for dinner, you take your family out to dinner, you take your wife or your mama, whoever it is, out to dinner. And that's just sort of a normal thing to do. If you got any chilling at all, you're going to have some Easter egg hunts, just a little joyous little occasion and everything. And I don't know why we try to keep people from the fun stuff. So have your little Easter egg hunt, dye your Easter eggs. Now, I know the eggs can be pretty high this year, but anyway, go ahead and break down and buy you a few. I listened this morning to this around this idea of the resurrection in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this seems to be it's defending the gospel. But one thing I like about this New Testament, starting with the book of Matthew, going all the way to the book of Revelation, is that you see the word according to the scripture quite a bit in many of these books and in these passages. And that lets you know that that's not from man. It's not from some catechism, some prayer book, some discipline, or some kind of manual. Pretty much every time the apostles tried to make a point, they says that it is according to the scriptures. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Now, this very first verse, you would sort of indicate that there wouldn't be no problem after that. But remember now, you're talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, different sects and sect in the Bible, different people who didn't believe in Jesus at all, period. That's why he said, "Believe in God, believe also in me." Didn't believe that he could be the Son of God coming from a human being, his mama being Mary. And so some people had problems with that. Not only did they have a problem with him being the Son of God coming from a human being, during his resurrection, there were a lot of people who didn't believe in spirits, didn't believe in folk coming from the dead and all that kind of thing, but which is hardly like that today. But there were some people back then that didn't believe in ghosts and gobblers and spooks and all that kind of thing. But listen to what he says here in this passage. He says, "By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you have believed in vain." I've often said in my preaching that our salvation hinges on what we remember and what we believe, how we retain it, what we believe, and what we retain. And that's what he says here. "I have delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture." And it seems like this is just sort of like a conversation, but not only a conversation, it's a confirmation as to what's going on. Verse number 3, he says, "How that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture." Verse 4, "And that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scripture." Now remember now, that the key to this whole thing is according to the scripture, not how I feel, not what I think, what somebody done told me, what I heard, what some friend done told me, what the word on the street is. He says you can read this for yourself. You can see this with your own eyeballs. Verse number 5 says, and that he was seen. Now he's getting ready to give some witnesses here now about the coming Christ, and so a lot of people believe that when he was resurrected, that the disciples came and stole him out of the grave. They said he didn't come out of that by himself. That the disciples during the night came and stole him out of the grave. But remember now, you know, I can't bring up everything that's involved in this passage, but it's just there's a whole lot going on here. Because remember now, at the tomb, the stone was rolled over the door, and then they put a seal on it, and then they put a guard there. And so how could they have come and stole the body out? You got to consider all this kind of thing. And then the other thing is, had the body been stolen or have it got out of there, the guards should have received death when this notice was found out, when the king found out or whoever it was that was going to find out that Jesus escaped some kind of way. Then most of the time, the guards, they would be put to death. But if you notice this passage, I'm going to jump ahead for just a little bit second on this, but you notice this passage was they put him in the tomb, rolled the stone over there, then they put a Roman seal on it, and then they put a guard there. The next morning, when Mary, Martha, and all of them came to anoint Jesus to clean him up because they had actually put him in the grave so fast on Friday when they had to take him down before the Passover, they put him in there so fast that they was going to come back and sort of put death garments on him and clean him up and everything. But when they came back, if you notice that story, he was already gone. But there was an angel standing there, and asking him, why seek you the living among the dead? I always love that passage of scripture. Why seek you the living among the dead? Now, that was the Christ side. And so then she ran and told the rest of the apostles, and of course they came to the gravesite. And I like that, too, because, you know, if anybody was going to be at the gravesite first, it was going to be a woman, no doubt about that. That's no bashing to men, but not only was they going to be first at the gravesite, but they're pretty much always going to be first at church. But that's beside the point. And so she ran and she told the other disciples, and here they come to the gravesite. Now, what happened to the soldiers? Well, the soldiers went back from the worldly side and told him, the disciples, no, he said, he escaped. Well, the governors, instead of killing them like they were supposed to be killed, they formed up a lie. They said, if anybody asks you where Jesus is, let them know he was not resurrected. Just tell them that the disciples came during the night and stole him out of the grave. Okay, so that brings us up to where we are now. And now he says, he's getting ready to give us some witnesses. He says, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's number one. And then he was seen of 12, that makes 13, 14, 15, because we know we had 14 apostles because Judas died and then they replaced him and everything. And he says after that, he was seen about 500 brethren at one time, of which the greater part remained until this present, but some have fallen asleep between that particular time that Jesus resurrected and went back into heaven. Some of them had died off. That's what the word sleep means. And after that, he was seen of James, then all of the apostles. And least of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due season. He was made of an apostle late, not with the original 12. And so that would bring it at least to 527 or 530 people that Jesus appeared unto, at least according to this particular passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then he said, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Well, God had forgiven him for that, and he made one of the greatest apostles of all. But by the grace of God, and that's what he said in verse number 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I think most of y'all thought that Popeye made that statement, but he didn't. It's in the, according to the scripture. He said, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Now, this is one thing that we're going to have to account for, verse number 10. now that we are members of the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, the one that you can read about in the Bible, is our worship in vain? Being a member of the body of Christ, is it in vain? In other words, Paul is saying in this passage, God did not bestow his goodness upon me and save me for naught. And that's what we need to understand. He says, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which is in me. Therefore, whether it be where I or they, so we preach also that you believe. Now here you go. Here goes the resurrection. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how else some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, here's the first thing. He says, then is Christ not risen? If there be no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if he be not risen, you got to go find that body somewhere. It just didn't come up missing. You got to back up and go find that body if he be not risen. Verse number 14 says, and if Christ be not risen, he said, then is your preaching in vain? In other words, why are you going from place to place, synagogue to synagogue? Why are you making this thing noise abroad, preaching the gospel? Because he said that if he be not risen, then your preaching is in vain. That's number two. And then he said, and your faith is also in vain. So what you claim that you believe in the resurrection of Christ. If he be not risen, then your faith is in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. It's because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. And then he said, whom he raised not up, so if be not that the dead be not raised, then the next problem he said you got is, for if the dead raised not, he said, then is not Christ raised. And then verse number 17 says, and if Christ be not risen, he said, your faith is in vain. And then he says, and this is real important right here, because he said, if Christ be not risen, he said, then you are yet in your sins. Why? It's because Christ came into the world to save us from our sins. His death on the cross, you know, it really was more about us than it was about Christ on the cross. I know we focused on him. We focused on how he died, this, that, and other. But had Christ had come off of that cross when they asked him to, we would not be saved. We would still be in our sins. So he stayed there for the remission of our sins. And so he says here, he says, if Christ be not risen, your preaching is in vain. Your faith is in vain. He says, if Christ be not risen, then he said, you are yet in your sins. Then they also, which have fallen asleep in Christ, he said, they got a problem. They got a problem. So, yes, I would say to you this morning that we can have full confidence, listen, according to the scriptures, that Christ is risen. When they came to the grave site, they made this wonderful statement, why seek you the living among the dead? Father, we thank you for this Resurrection Sunday that's coming up before us. But we also thank you for giving us the scriptures that we can also remember, be reminded of that always. Thank you for being so generous to us. You've been more generous to us than we've been to ourselves. And we thank you for watching over us and keeping us. And when death comes in our families, and be with those who are bereaved at this time, but when death comes in our family, you have a way of comforting us and bringing us back. And so we just thank you for your love and for your support. And most of all, we thank you for this day that we've never seen before, that we're never going to see again. And we thank you for even giving us this opportunity to serve you on this day. Jesus loved you. He died for you. And he's coming again. And try to have a super duper week.